Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, on this, what used to be a Windbag Wednesday, it is now officially being dubbed, I'm told, Waffle Wednesday.
Waffle Wednesday.
Because...
you don't like that, Jeff.
Hashtag Willie, Linnell Willingham, is a waffler. So we're celebrating by getting some breakfast. And look what we found in the building.
Yeah, you're all
on the same floor. It's almost like he works here.
Trying to kill me.
The great J.P. Finley, who is enjoying some waffling right now, as we speak. Oh, sausage.
I know. If there's one man to eat sausage with, it's Chris Russell.
Well. that's insanity.
Cut that off. That is going to be a drop that lives in infamy forever.
I mean, the sausage king of D.C.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
All right, so JP, anything about this bit. You were on Friday. You were being a great dad. You were taking your kids to the Islander Capitals game, all that stuff.
It was
stuff. Fun. So in your stead, over on the Big Stick, here on 980.
Simulcast.
Was hashtag Willie, Linnell Willingham.
So you were off also, but tried to make it seem like only I was off.
Well, I worked for our national network. 6 a.m.
National big time.
6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then I went out to Command Land to ask Dan Quinn a question.
Okay.
And to roam the locker room.
All right, you're grinding.
You know, so I was work. But this isn't about you.
Oh my
you,
God.
You well-deserved day off. I'm very happy you got that experience.
You.
Your kid was on the Zamboni.
It was cool.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Great. You got a great comeback.
Kids on the Zamboni. That's awesome.
My oldest got to ride the Zamboni.
But you missed Linnell opening up like a cannonball of fire on your show in your time slot.
Hold on.
I know one dude whose name's on that show that loves when we do that.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Basically, with, again, pitchfork in hand and burying, like they used to bury the Undertaker, the Commanders at 7-5 on a three-game losing streak.
Well, can we be specific
and,
here?
And specifically, there was a caller that called in and said, Linnell, you need a spatula because you're too busy flip-flopping and changing your opinions.
So you buried them after the Cowboy game?
Yes.
Yes.
But
because you're concerned with the run game? I know that's been a concern.
This isn't about football.
It's 100% about football.
No,
and that's what
not.
I refuse to let you do. No. This was a football take that once again was misconstrued because I am the most hated man on radio.
I'm aware of it.
I am the ultimate antagonist, the ultimate. Call it what you want. These callers are just mad that 90% of the time smarter than this.
We can just move past this.
Do your ears just bleed, dude?
JP.
I am the Messiah.
JP, somebody from Section 208 threatened to come down here
and beat my ass
and punch him in the face and basically brawl with him because he was so infuriating. And Smitty called up on your show. And I guess theoretically Kevin Sheehan's show and said, man, you're so busy waffling and flipping your opinion, you need a spatula.
I like
so
that.
We decided to get some
IHOP. Spatula food.
Exactly. Waffles, right?
This is a good bit.
And we don't have the pancakes. They're imaginary pancakes. So you have to use your mind a little bit. But if we had real pancakes, what would you do with pancakes? You would?
Flip them up over.
Just like Linnell does with his opinions.
Just because you get presented new information, you should be allowed to change your opinion. That's when I changed my
opinion. What was the new information after the game?
Well, I didn't have a chance to go and do my wrath bit because I've been on edge ever since Sunday, last Sunday.
Another shocking development.
Because in my opinion, to lose to a team at home that had been outscored 68-20 the 2 weeks prior and had been absolutely lifeless on offense, playing with two backup guards, a makeshift rookie center that they didn't even draft to be a center. Right. Brock Hoffman just sucks, so that he's now the center. Their defense couldn't stop anybody.
You're yelling about the game 2 weeks ago that you were convinced season was over about.
Oh my God.
What's your material change that happened?
I'm saying in general, when I get presented new information, why would you not change your opinion?
Can I add something to Waffle Wednesday?
Sure, absolutely. JP, go right ahead. Be my guest.
Sunday, November 24th, 12:17 p.m. That was about 40 minutes prior to kickoff of Skins Cowboys, right? The terrible loss
they
took at home.
Sounds about right. Right before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Sure.
I you definitely know this dude, Peter Rosenberg.
Yes, I love Peter.
So you guys probably work together here at 980 or one of the places?
Yeah, I don't know if we actually directly work together, but yeah, I mean, we've known each other for a long time.
Big Nell, do you know Rosenberg?
Of course.
Okay. Rosenberg is a DMV guy in New York, blown up, does wrestling and Hot 97 and ESPN New York.
Yep.
Rosenberg's a hardcore Skins fan.
Yes, he is.
We all grew up here. This is when we knew Jay-Z was coming to the game. I'm just going to read four text messages directly in a row. I'll tell you if I see Hove, in case you saw Jay-Z. By the way, the hosts on the station are killing me. So overconfident. Not a game to sleep on. I happened to listen to a little bit of that morning before the Cowboys-Commanders game also.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Big Nell and Denton Day saying it's going to be at least a 3-touchdown win. So the fact that Rosenberg noticed, I noticed, he texted me to tell me that the boys on the pregame show are way too overconfident, and then 5 days later, Big Nell was saying the season was over.
What would you call that?
That's
though?
A waffle, baby.
Or a massive flop, right? Or a massive flip.
Yeah,
as well.
Flip, flop, waffle, whatever you, as Chick Hernandez likes to say, wet it, wipe it, goodnight it.
That's incredible.
Well, this is the best idea that you've ever come up with, so I want to give you all the credit. I came up with some part of it.
But I don't want to be lost, though.
Getting IHOP makes this very funny.
That was all him, because we tried to go to, again, we don't have the pancakes, right? So we tried to go somewhere else. We had to go.
I wouldn't worry so much about
exactly.
The pancakes.
But all I did was approve it and pay for it. Matt came up with the genesis of the idea because Linnell,
like how he slid in that he paid for it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm just trying to say that's all my part in it. I didn't create the genius of this. All I did was hear Smitty on my way to Commander's practice on Friday call in and say that Linnell needs a spatula because he's too busy flipping his opinion.
This is the piece of information I feel like you all are missing. Right? Because I take pride in what I do and I want to have fun with the people and I'm passionate about this. You all have this all wrong. It was not Linnell Willingham that put a fork in the Commanders' playoff lives.
No.
If you actually listen to the segment.
Do we have the audio?
No. It's going to live in podcast lore forever. But
it's on the Odyssey app.
There's like 11 people that care about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going
to
live in any sort of
lore.
Wait.
Hear him out.
It was not Linnell Willingham. It was not hashtag Willie.
Was it Messiah?
Wasn't the main event Messiah. It wasn't the youngest in charge. It was Pastor Willingham.
Oh.
There were chords in the background. This was something I had been waiting all week for Friday.
Who is this Pastor Willingham fella?
Hey, he was hosting for B. Mitch and Finley.
Really?
10-1 on Black Friday. You should check him out. Matt, all you would have to do, it's very easy. You know, there's Dude Love, there's Mankind.
I feel like I'm getting dumber right now.
There's Mick Foley.
I feel like I get dumber every day.
I'm checking in with Longfellow Tidwire.
I mean, we should have invited Longfellow Tidwire for breakfast.
It appears he's not listening right now.
Oh, no.
His last tweet, this guy makes me laugh, and it must be somebody that works here.
It has to be.
He said, and he tags everybody
you
like
CK?
You do. No.
I already accused CK of it. He said it's not him.
You just accused me. You're just accusing everyone.
Because you interact with it more than anybody I know.
It's funny.
And all I had to see was, who actually follows the page back? And I see this guy.
Pastor Willingham.
And I said, here, oh, this is
Pastor Willingham, here's what you're going to understand. I used to be you. I've told you that a million times.
Yeah, dude, you guys are so similar.
Right? I used to be really fiery, really passionate, really combustible. I don't give a crap right now.
Because you're an industry plant. As I continue to tell you, you're a native New Yorker that can give a rat's ass about the success of this team.
I just
believe burgundy and gold. I'm an addict. I'm wearing the patch right now, damn it. I care about this. I was sneaking when I was on punishment in the 10th grade to turn on the radio to listen to the pregame show because I couldn't watch the game because I was in trouble. I got my ass whipped over this team. You're just an industry.
You keep talking like you did last Friday. You're going to get your ass whipped again.
So why'd you quit on him then?
Why'd I quit on him? Because I was fed up Friday morning, man. Are you kidding? For that group, and then Tennessee, what happened Sunday, first of all, I texted this to Chris. I texted to Logan as well. I said, dude, the way that the offensive line.
I bet Logan was excited to get that text.
Logan actually had some very kind words for my excellent film breakdown on how the Washington Commanders offensive line whipped ass in a way that we haven't seen in my entire lifetime. It was perfect the way they blocked us.
Logan's just a nice
guy. Against Tennessee.
Yeah.
The counter stuff is really good.
Who could have ever saw that coming?
Did you text B-Mitch your video breakdown?
But dude, can I tell you one thing? And you are clearly passionate. Undoubtedly. How old are you now, youngest in charge? 26, 24?
27.
Who's counting? Hardly the youngest in charge anymore.
Well, we don't have to do that here.
All right. Well, tomorrow, speaking of which.
There's one thing you got to lock yourself in on, dude. And I mean this sincerely. Like, the longer you do it, and Russell's got both of us beat, right? But the longer you do it, you realize that the unexpected always happens. And it happens when you don't. Like, losing to the Cowboys at home, which has you wanting to kill yourself, apparently.
No, that's not at all.
And then running all over Tennessee. Like, the NFL, every season is its own organism, man. It's its own living, breathing, evolving, shifting being. And you have to ride it out. And that's why, like, it's easy to get skeptical, especially after that Cowboys loss. It's easy to be a skeptic with DQ and the brotherhood and all those things. And I know that, like, the media industry is incredibly snarky and people want to seize on that. That's how social media has created this thing. But it doesn't mean it's going to go how you think. And so
clearly.
Sticking the fork in.
It was premature.
It was premature.
But I can admit that. I'm a man first. I said all the time, I was wrong.
Premature forculation.
Well, forculation is a that's
it was
a word.
Premature silliness.
Because you know what I thought in reality? My thing was this.
I tried to tell him. He wasn't. Nobody's mad at him for being wrong about a game. I raised my hand. I said over and over again, I never thought they would get right against Tennessee. We were all.
No one could have.
A lot of us were wrong. I don't know where you came in.
I had them winning. I had them covering.
Okay.
I thought it'd be a comfortable
job.
Win.
Good
not
job.
Like that.
I did not
I
think.
I had it like 28-20, I think I said.
I didn't even have that. So I was dead wrong. But I said the difference is between being dead wrong about a game and burying them like poof. Wow. After talking about how they were going to win 12, 13 games all year.
Come on.
You know, that was the problem. And getting Johnny from Section 208 so pissed off that he wanted to come down here
Speaking of getting it wrong, you see me and Bickle fighting with Pro Football Focus this morning?
I did not. What happened?
You and Bickle on
Twitter?
Me and Bickle tag-teamed Pro Football Focus.
Well, they're a dying breed.
I don't know about that. It is a cottage industry devoted to making football seem more complex.
But is this all on social media, or do I have to listen to the podcast?
That was the best way I've ever heard it put.
Bickle tweeted out, Jaden Daniels was their 23rd ranked quarterback this week.
Overall. After being the second ranked
he's
quarterback
their third
following
highest
the Dallas
on the
game.
Season. He's their third highest on the season,
right.
But he was 23rd this past
right.
week.
But he was number two amongst all quarterbacks after the Dallas loss.
It's just asinine.
Right.
Like, at some point, the numbers have to match
right.
what
the
you
eye,
see.
The eye test.
And Nick Ackridge is a nice fella, but, like, at some point, it's not matching up to
yeah.
him. Now, I think the problem with that is any individual body of work gets so swayed by, like, all of these numbers they probably are putting too much use to. But if you can't understand the efficiency that Jaden ran that offense yeah. with Sunday, it's just banana.
And man. If you thought that
Wait, so he was the 23rd ranked quarterback in the NFL Sunday?
I guess, because I didn't even see
There's
that.
No
and
way.
He was the second
Anthony
ranked
Richardson
quarterback.
Anthony Richardson was fourth.
Who completed 51% yeah. of his passes yeah. on Sunday?
109 yards
yeah.
passing.
And I love PFF. Let me be clear. I love PFF. I don't always agree with their grading, but I respect them. And I was like first on them a long time ago when everyone was crapping all over them. I think their system has gotten better, but sometimes I walk away going, oh my God, did we watch the same
game? It's just
game?
About the context yeah. thing for yeah. me. Like, you exactly. got to be able to have, provide context.
JP, I know you just did 4 hours of radio, so we're going
to
let you go.
Do another 20 minutes.
I mean, could do you want some scrambled eggs?
I had a piece of sausage and some home fries there.
My brain is like the scrambled eggs. It's a little bit scrambled. So,
in reality, though.
I just wanted to ask you this because we're going to get actually serious after this.
Uh-oh.
I know you had Sam Fortier on the Washington Sam. Post. The F-16, I didn't get to hear it, but the F-16 fighter jet story. Is there anything about that that surprises you besides the obvious, which is F-16 fighter jets have never been swapped for an NFL stadium?
Essek, didn't it seem like he was saying goodbye to me? That's when I ate another bite of potatoes.
You didn't go in for another bite.
No, I said before we. I know you did My 4 hours. I need a little bit more out of you. I need you to get me a little 2-minute offense.
Here. I think it's incredibly weird.
Yeah.
I think in the scope of politics of we need this one voting block to do something for us, and they then extract some form of quid pro quo or payment, whatever you want to call that, right? I think in the scope of politics, this is entirely normal. I think it seems super weird because it's an NFL team and a stadium and jets. I also, what Fortier told us, I believe it was Fortier, it might have been a caller, but I'm almost positive it was Sammy. You realize that these DC jets, the DC Air National Guard jets.
Right. Not the New York Jets.
Yeah. The jets that Maryland claims they want to give up stadium rights.
They don't want the Winnipeg Jets. They want the actual
correct.
Thing.
Do you know where these jets are currently housed?
In Maryland.
In Maryland. They're at Andrews Air Force Base, or Joint Base Andrews.
Like, it's all going to annoy me, because I feel like this is another thing where I come out of left field and people are going to get annoyed.
You want them to stay in Landover?
I can give a rat's ass if they go back to RFK. I would love to see the D.C. community benefit economically from
Linnell
a stadium.
Linnell just wants,
I heard you yell about it.
Josh Harrison is 21 limited partners, just like they paid full money for that Sixers stadium.
Well, they haven't
he
done that
He better be
yet.
Paying for this one.
They haven't
is
done
what
that
I'm
yet.
Saying.
And this one's going to cost three times as much.
Youngest in charge. Man of the people.
I'm just saying. Do I not have a point with that? The Commanders fans know that? That he footed the bill of it in an entire stadium project?
They haven't put a shovel in the ground
Well,
yet.
Listen. That's the plan.
I think if you want to play the moral superiority card of taxpayers shouldn't fund it, you're not incorrect. It's just...
I'm just saying in D.C. of
not,
all places.
You're not living in reality either. Like, this is what happens. This is what happens. If you want to, like, go hand out pamphlets and try to change the world, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but this is the world, dude.
I'm just saying it would be irresponsible on the city to foot a majority of the cost for it. You're not guaranteed a return on your investment. Is what I always go back to.
Correct.
Especially if the team, and I'm doing complete hypothetical here.
There's no
say
investment
Jayden
that
comes
you're
out
guaranteed
and shreds his knee
on.
To pieces, and now we don't have a quarterback, and now the team's not good. Yeah. People aren't going to go to that stadium just if the team's not good. What I want to continue to
what
reiterate.
What if they're hosting the Final Four and WrestleMania and the Super Bowl?
And that's why you want to have
FIFA
it. I get
World
that.
Cup and Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
I get that.
Like,
that's why you want to have it. I get that.
It's not. Building that is not at all, I would say, completely hinging upon Jaden Daniels'
correct.
Development. Dude,
you see what
I'm
saying?
You know what this area was 20 years ago?
Yeah. No. I tried to tell all you people this.
Like,
and then I got thrown the economists and about, there's no
passion,
financial
Craig
impact
Hoffman.
Of a
Do
stadium.
Do I ever get to leave?
No. As a matter of fact, can you go hand
I
out
keep
those
looking
pamphlets?
At Essig.
Can you go hand out those pamphlets? You got a hole in your schedule, right?
Hand out these waffles. You know where I got to tape a show. If I didn't have a show to tape tonight, I would have a drink in my hand already.
What show is that? All Ears?
I got All Ears tonight at 8:30.
Is my mailbag question going to make it tonight?
Did you submit one?
Come on.
Did you actually? You or Longfellow?
I want to know.
It's J.P. Finley, ladies and gentlemen. I'm taking us
are
to
Are you going
to
have the YIC
them.
On All Ears?
Yeah, I'm going to text Picari and Heather right now.
All
right.
Well, J.P., don't.
Did you actually submit one?
I was doing a bit.
By the way, tomorrow, Linnell will not be with us on Throwdown Thursday because he's going to be busy the next 2 days with the other YIC, Toby Altizer, filling in for
Mitch
and Finley.
Show.
Yes.
Nice.
I got
me and B are gone. We gone. I'm not looking at the schedule.
Gone fishing.
Bring gas.
Well, I'm just.
Thank you, JP.
I'll be on a beach. You want me to send you pictures?
Please.
All right.
Just. Yeah.
Pictures of what?
Oh, so
me on
what
the
I'm
beach.
Saying. You got to cut it out.
Sausage party.
You got to understand where the majority of our listening audience is from PG County, and they're making assumptions about Virginians based off the stuff you said. Straight up.
I'm a Marylander. I'm trying to get my Jets
through and through.
And just chill. I'm gonna be. What does Kevin Durant like to say? I'm gonna be me and just chill.
Are you gonna take one of those fighter jets down to the beach?
I don't know that you can get a family of four in those.
Okay. All right. Thank you, JP. Appreciate you stopping
Goodbye.
By.
Goodbye.
All ears tonight,
JP.
NBC4.
Big Nell.
Well,
don't cause trouble.
I only get a thank you from you.
Yeah. I don't know. Keep waiting on that other one.
Well, I was about to say, man, it's 2025.
I was going
to
say, you got
I have a tease
better
for the
chance
people.
At a snowball's chance in hell.
I have a tease for the people.
I am going to. The route I would take if I was
I've
you.
Already, I've already made an attempt.
You have voiced. Very little interest in what I think.
All right. That note, we have to stop
Sports
sabotaging
radio
the radio
amazing.
Program.
I love
We're
this.
Just having some fun here, boys and girls,
Where
children of all ages. Thanks to JP Finley for hanging out with us and suspending some time. Have a nice vacation, pal. See ya. That's JP Finley. Wow. Check him out, Monumental Sports Network. More importantly, 106.7 The Fan, 10 to 2, where Linnell will be tomorrow and Friday, correct? Mm-hmm. Both days? On the T980 and the Odyssey app. More to come, and we'll actually settle down and do the rest of the radio show next. All right, we're back. We're going to actually settle down now and do the rest of the show because, yeah. How about F-16s?
Nah, you're a dog. I call you that quite often, and I hope that people understand what I'm saying when I say that. Matthew Essick, despite being a criminalistic heathen, he's actually a pretty good producer.
All right. Thanks to JP Finley.
Monster.
Thanks to the criminalistic heathen. thanks to you for hanging out with us. And hopefully you got a good laugh out of it. We were just trying to bust Linnell's chops over the fact that, again, he buried the Commanders on Friday and then they went out and put up 42 on a top five defense on Sunday in one of the most dominant performances we've seen around these here pots in a long, long time. All right, we'll move on from that. So we've been teasing this. We asked JP about it. Yesterday, Sam Fortier and the rest of the crew over at the Washington Post put out this story. As I was driving home, and I was like, what? Huh? And I was like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. So for those of you, just quickly catch up. Maryland Senators Ben Cardin and Chris Van Hollen, who I've heard a lot from, quite honestly, much more than I care about, because I just don't care. Fair. They have been steady opposition of the RFK transfer to the district government because they thought it gave an unfair advantage to the district government over Maryland's government, who desperately wants to revitalize PG County and wants to anchor a hospitality village around a brand new stadium for the next 30 to 40 years, much like they have done in Foxborough, right outside of Gillette Stadium, much like they've done at many baseball stadiums, and you've seen the boom. And again, as long as you don't listen to economists who don't know anything, you understand that you don't have that revenue and you don't have people flocking to stadiums and bars and restaurants and retail shopping without the stadium and without the people being a centerpiece to it all. But anyway, so Maryland had opposed because they said it gave DC government an unfair advantage. So the latest that we got yesterday was, oh, wait a second. Actually, we're not that concerned about that. We're not concerned about a level playing field. As long as you give us one of DC's two Air National Guard squadrons, the only one with fighter jets, and as long as the Commanders publicly state, hey, we don't want to be in Maryland anymore, we want to build in DC, but we're here in Maryland for the next 6-7 years until we get this all straight, but we don't want to be in Maryland anymore. And we're going to go back home to our original home and build a brand new stadium, so on and so forth. And people were like, whoa, wait a second. Some parts of that make sense, right? Maryland kind of wants to know what the Commanders want, truly want. Well, they should know what they want. They want to do what most of their fan base wants to do in this particular case, and that is bring the team and the stadium back home to its natural birthing spot, if you will, RFK Stadium and the RFK campus. So then the fighter jets get involved here, Linnell, and the Maryland Senators say, you know what, we're not really all that interested in building a stadium and giving you and having an unfair advantage as long as you give us something really, really valuable in return. So I ask you, is it absurd for Maryland to want F-16 fighter jets in exchange for the Commanders?
Is it fair? I'll be honest with you. I give you my all, Chris. I have a real hard time wrapping my head around this story. I get it from a political pettiness standpoint, because that's what this is to me. That's them. It's political pettiness. But, I mean, it's fair exchange, right? I mean, you can't just have anything in this world for free.
No.
So I get where, I guess, Maryland is coming from, but, like, in reality, who's going to kick out the most money for the damn stadium? That's all that matters.
I don't know what politically they gain by having fighter jets. I keep calling them F-16. I don't know if they're F-16. This is just what I commonly refer to them as, fighter jets. Let's just put it that way. I think, though, if we can figure out a way to make this work, this exchange work, and if they can get the land, and if the Maryland Senators are not going to oppose the transfer of the land, while it doesn't guarantee that a new stadium is coming to RFK, the Commanders and the D.C. government would have, in the last couple of weeks, eliminated, for now, Steve Daines and the Montana people and the family. I forgot their names.
The Wetzels.
And the two Maryland Senators. And as far as I know, that would be the last remaining opposition to them getting the land transfer attached to this bill that has to be voted on and approved before the end of this year, or it goes to the back of the pile and might not be addressed for months and months and months on end. And then the Commanders are going to basically sit in and languish in terms of not knowing whether or not they can ever have a realistic chance of trying to finance a stadium at RFK.
And that's the big problem. I get that piece of it. I just feel like, I mean, and hear me out here. Someone called in when I was filling in for Craig Hoffman like 2 weeks ago and said that, don't fall for this trap. This is Josh Harris in the Commander's way to show all the fans, hey, we tried our hardest to get back to D.C. Look at how many hurdles we have to actually jump. Maryland just seems like the easier play.
It's possible.
And I'm not trying, I don't want to play conspiracy theorists with that, though. I'm trying to make sense of it because the pettiness level is so high here that it's almost like, why would you even want to put up with that? Why is it worth the fight?
Well,
when they come to the table with that negotiating tactic, how do you not roll your eyes and tell them to kiss your cheeks?
It might not be a realistic fight, and I'll have the details for you coming up on that in just a couple of moments after a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Wizards have lost 15 in a row after last night's loss in Cleveland. Not a surprise. Next up at home, Capital One Arena, tomorrow night against the Dallas Mavericks. But as a result of being eliminated from the NBA Cup, they've been rewarded with two extra regular season games. The problem? The opponents in those two games? The defending NBA champion Boston Celtics and the same Cleveland Cavaliers that are kicking everybody's you-know-what, including the Washington Wizards last night in an uncompetitive game. But them's be the breaks. Kevin Durant No surprise, no stranger to injury, out at least 1 week with an ankle sprain suffered in last night's game, a win for the Suns over the San Antonio Spurs. Meanwhile, the Capitals losing last night in overtime to an improving San Jose Sharks team. That snapped a four-game winning streak. And we found out who right now is projected to be in the top 12 for the college football playoff, and it is Alabama with 3 losses over Miami with just 2 losses. And that's what's trending. All right, so just wrapping up this part of the story and the show when it comes to the fighter jets, and apparently they are F-16s. I thought I had heard that, but maybe I was wrong, but apparently they are. So a couple of things here. Maryland, again, is reportedly the only state with without a National Guard flying mission next year. And that's due, according to a story I'm reading as part of the original reporting from the Post, due to the U.S. Air Force plans to convert the state's existing squadron into one with cyber responsibilities on the ground. I have no idea what any of that means. Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is a very loud voice in the D.C. government, she is the congressional delegate. She released a statement to the Washington Post about the fighter jet swap potential. And she said, quote, transfer would leave the DCNG, the DC National Guard, with no aviation units, forcing it to be reliant on the goodwill of other National Guards for common aviation matters that arise in DC, such as intercepting aircraft, patrolling the skies, and rescuing or evacuating people in emergencies. All things that seem very legitimate. She said in this statement, while D.C. could request assistance from other National Guards, there is no guarantee the air assets would be provided in a timely manner or at all. She said, D.C. rightly deserves to benefit from the land where RFK Stadium sits, falling into disrepair, and the exchange for the transfer of administrative jurisdiction over the campus to D.C. should not come at the expense of the D.C. NG's aviation resources. Now, listen, again, I don't understand all of that. I don't understand a lot of the particulars and what, but everything that I'm reading makes some sense. Do we want to strip D.C. of whatever interior aviation protection we have as Eleanor Holmes Norton kind of outlined, right? Intercepting aircraft, I think, important. Patrolling the skies and rescuing people or evacuating people in emergencies, like, I guess, like in a super high rise or whatever. Do we want to put D.C. at that kind of compromised position from a theoretical defense standpoint, or from an air defense standpoint,
and that's the whole
point. Over a football stadium,
and that's why it's political pettiness. Like, that's ridiculous. The whole idea and premise is ridiculous. If safety could potentially be impacted, and
it sounds like it could be.
And
right?
As you're laying it out, it 100% could be, and like it's a joke.
So,
but like,
then
why?
Then the next question becomes. Clearly, the guys from Maryland cooked this up. Oh, hey, instead of asking them for money to do this, to drop our opposition, let's get something of value that we don't have, that we don't have enough of, so we can bolster our own defense, air defense. Maryland seems already compromised in this area. Again, I'm not an expert in this. I'm not trying to be. But they already seem already compromised in this area. But they're trying to say, okay, let's get something that we're short of on our side, and also something of extreme value to drop our opposition. And people are not sure, okay, wait a second, why can't they just be voted, why can't the bill or whatever be voted with in lieu of the two Maryland senators? And my understanding, again, don't know, I heard Fortier explain this, and it sounded like he wasn't completely sure of this, but apparently, they can prevent this part of the bill being attached to the bigger bill that they're trying to get approved and pushed through and on the voting floor. Not specifically that we're having a vote across the board where two Maryland U.S. senators can be overlooked or can be overwhelmed by a vote just specifically for the RFK transfer purposes. And I know that's a little confusing, but that's what I understand.
I'm trying my best to follow along as the listeners are too.
It's complicated.
My bottom line is it seems, I don't want to make a mockery of the situation, but once you start talking about exchanging jets for state, like it's just not. But then I look at it this way.
Is there a simplistic way of looking at this?
Why can't they just buy them out? Why can't they use the money to go buy the fighter jets?
Well, because I don't know if the D.C. government, we're not even sure if they have the money to fund part of the public financing of a new stadium and entertainment complex, right? So then you're going to ask them to pay, I don't know. I don't know what a fighter jet squadron is worth. A couple of hundred million?
I don't know.
I have no idea. You're going to ask them to pay that to either replenish that or to what have you, or to just give up that. And then you're going to say, well, why can't you just pay Maryland to drop their opposition? Well, what does Maryland want to drop their opposition? Because they understand what I understand. A stadium complex, a stadium district brings in a lot of tax revenue that you currently don't have. Yes, they have currently a stadium. They don't have the entertainment district that they're planning on building around on the campus at RFK that would extend to the footprint of the current stadium, and that's why this is so important for Maryland. So I'm guessing, I don't know, if you're Maryland and you want me to drop the opposition because it allegedly gives DC an unfair advantage over us, okay, I'm going to want, I don't know, I'm going to want a couple of hundred million or something that to drop our opposition.
And then you
have to say, is it worth it if you're DC's government?
That's the big question that I think we really should be looking at here. Is it worth it from all fronts? Because I don't know. I go back to the whole safety thing. And then what are you willing to compromise and sacrifice here in this situation? I think the D.C. government and fans that want this stadium back here, you have to understand. You have to compromise something. Something's going to get sacrificed.
Here's how it could possibly be done and worth it is if Josh and his investors decide, you know what?
We're just going to pay for it.
We're going to pay for it, $200 million, $100 million, whatever it might be, and we're going to look at it as – if we were to build a stadium in some other area, some other jurisdiction, some other part of the DMV, it would cost us X to acquire and control the land.
If you're Josh, and I know Josh is from here, Mark Ein is from here, you have an opportunity.
Mitch Rails.
Y'all are from here. You understand the current political climate in the District of Columbia in terms of how hurt they are right now financially. You have an opportunity, if you are the Josh Harris group, to not have your legacy and reputation just be about wins and losses. You have the opportunity to really financially help a jurisdiction that desperately needs it. You have an opportunity to be a steward of your community. That should be all the motivation you need right there. And of course, you're going to see a return on your investment because this past April, you drafted the guy that's going to make you a bunch of money.
Yeah, but I don't think you can go into this saying, well, we have Jaden, so Jaden's definitely going to be here in 5 or 6 years and usher in a new stadium. I think you have to go into this saying,
a stadium will be done by the time his rookie contract is up? There's no chance, right?
4 years?
You don't think a stadium is done in by 2028?
No, not with all the politics and not with all the financing that has to go in, the bonds and the very complicated. And here's the thing, and here's what is going to prevent Josh Harris from just sinking money into Maryland to get them to drop the opposition of the fighter jets, to get them to drop the opposition of the land transfer, and that is, wait a second, if I'm going to spend $100 million, $150 million, $200 million, whatever it is, to make Maryland happy, I have to be guaranteed, A, that I'm getting the stadium and the financing structure. I have to have a deal in place already. It's not assumed for me.
I hear you. I know what you're saying, though.
It's not assumed for me. Unless he's got a secret backdoor deal that nobody has been able to crack the code for, I can't spend the money to get Maryland to stop squawking or stop opposing so that I can get control, or so that D.C. can get control of the land so that we can then try and finance and build a publicly funded, partially, half, three-quarters, whatever it might be, stadium. And you say, well, wait a second. Josh Harris and his investors, they should invest in their – you're absolutely right. And they will ultimately invest. But they're going to look at it from this. We already invested $6 billion in buying the franchise, being the stewards of the franchise. To ask us to go and spend another $3.5 billion, another maybe $4 billion, because in order to get all these premier events, you at least need a retractable roof, if not a permanent roof. In order to get us to do that, now you're asking us to spend $9.5 billion on the team and the stadium.
Yeah, spend money to make money. They're businessmen. They understand that more than anybody.
But do they have that money?
There's 21 of them. They better have it.
I don't know if they do.
That's 21
of them. With the money that they invested already?
And I hear that. And remember, if you all remember the final process and the final piece of the sale going final, there was like a money holdup.
Yes.
And like that, so I do hear that part of it. But like there's 21 of you.
I know, but I don't know if 21 billionaires, right, in liquid assets, and I'm not smart enough to understand all the elements and all the big boy terms. I don't know if 21 bazillionaires just can go to the back of their cherry tree in their backyard and rip off a couple of $1 billion to build a stadium complex. Because again, remember, in order to do this thing right, you have to build a stadium, 65-ish, say, 1,000, maybe 60.
Seating-wise,
65-ish, 1,000. But you have to build it right, you have to at least do a retractable roof, if not a permanent roof. You have to. You cannot build this like they're building the stadium in Buffalo without a roof. Now, part of that is Buffalo's pride and all this stuff. But also part of this is they knew they were not getting a Super Bowl in Buffalo just by building a new stadium. Washington, D.C. is a city that you get a Super Bowl, get the Olympics, that you get the NCAA Final Four, that you get WrestleMania, that you get Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, that you get the stuff that you get Taylor Swift in February as opposed to not at all because you have a dome or a translucent roof or a retractable roof. And guess what that costs? Even more money on top of the money that you would already be spending to build the original structure.
And I hear your point on the roof thing and like you have to have that. And I think they understand that as an ownership group. They know that they have to have that. They're not idiots.
I don't think they're idiots.
Like
the question is do they have the funds? They have the assets to do it?
But Chris, they didn't buy this team with the thought of playing at FedEx.
But I think what they may have thought, I don't know.
But you
see
what I'm saying?
What they may have thought is, hey man, if we sink $6 billion into buying the team and rent, we are going to be conquering heroes and people are just going to be willing to give us money
just
hand
because
over
you
foot.
Bought it. Yeah. Well, someone had to buy it. That's the whole thing.
I understand
someone
that.
Someone had
but
to buy it.
That's,
I go back
that's
to
not
what
always
I said.
How people look at it.
I go back to what I said, and JP made fun of me saying, go save the world, hand out pamphlets. Mark Ein, Mitch Rales, Josh Harris have an opportunity to be remembered here forever.
Yeah, I agree.
Because what that sports and entertainment Taj Mahal has the potential to do economically and financially for the district is massive.
Right.
And I would feel much better about the potential benefits of that if it wasn't DC putting all their money in it, because you also have to calculate the risk of, what if something comes out scandalous in the news or something about someone in the ownership group or a player and all of a sudden people turn on this team? It's a very real possibility.
It is.
We watched it happen over the Snyder era.
We got to take a timeout. There's one other new element to this that we have not discussed today, and that is somebody who is going to be leading the charge to get this done and to cement a deal, whether it be in Landover, whether it be at the RFK site, regardless of opposition and Senates and all that stuff. And that is a new president of the Washington Commanders. A little bit more on him, and then we'll get to your calls at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. You don't want to be drunk on an F6.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steen fighter jet, I tell you that much. A little bit different. Coming up, we will get some report card grades in for part of the Commanders. I'm not going to be able to finish it all, but we will do...
Report cards?
Yes.
Yes! I love bi-week report cards.
I mean...
Yes.
It's 13 games in, right?
Not too early to put a fork in them.
That's what somebody said. Yesterday, as soon as we got off the air, the Commanders, it seems like the Commanders literally cannot wait until we sign off to break news. On Monday did they sneak in a Zane Gonzalez signing to the active roster, yesterday, literally as soon as we turned off our microphones, the team announced, hey, by the way, along with in exchange for new team president Mark Klaus, we acquired a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup so that we can get a new president in town to replace the outgoing president, Jason Wright, because his contract was up and he's kind of been languishing, and so that we can bring in a new president of business operations to run the show and to build said new stadium. So I ask you this. Did the hiring of Mark Klaus, a guy who is currently serving as the president and CEO of the Campbell's Company, mm-hmm. as the new team president, strictly business operations, although whenever you're in charge of the business operations, in some way, shape, or form, you're also at least involved extemporaneously, if that's the right word, on the perimeter of the football operations, because you're the dude that green lights and red lights money, right? And ultimately, you might have some influence or some say or some objection or what have you. But for right now, the way it's being presented is Mark Klaus, who's going to start in January, I heard late January, he is going to report directly to Josh Harris. He is going to lead the team's planning and development of the next stadium. So my question is, if they get this bill attached, if it goes through here before the new year or before Congress shuts down, and then you have Mark Klaus taking over in mid, late January, whatever it is, if he's going to be spearheading the planning and development of the new stadium, you'd presume it's going to take him a little bit of time to kind of catch up and figure out lay of the land. I mean, there is a difference between running Campbell's and a soup company, and they do other things as well. We should point out.
But I think Campbell's, it makes sense, the relationship, though, because the NFL is one of Campbell's biggest sponsors.
Yeah, like, no, you're right. So you're right. I think Campbell's Chunky Soup, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So
welcome to Campbell's Field at the RFK campus.
I mean, listen, you say that, but here's also what I wonder, mm-hmm. right? Given that unique, not unique, given that relationship, is this a way with Klaus coming over here and mm-hmm. presumably good relations still with the Campbell's company? Is this a way to kind of bridge that gap between some of the public financing and some of the private financing and some of the issues, not only his leadership and development, but getting Campbell's, the company, to pay for
X amount of the stadium?
A couple hundred million of the stadium in exchange for the naming rights? Is that a possibility? I think it is.
That's interesting. I see where you're coming from with that. And I don't think it's a long shot by any stretch. And when you consider how big the financial piece of this yeah. is, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And they'd be smart for doing so. I'm impressed, and I know this is kind of off topic, their ability, talk about Josh and the Harris group and all that, to rehabilitate this team from like a marketability standpoint yeah. and spot, like, it's impressive.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think the winning is going to only aid that, but to get some of the people they got on board before anyone knew Jaden was going to be good, before anyone knew that this team, because I think you can ask business people around the NFL, right, or around the world, if you're looking at sports franchises, all sports that have like a tremendously bright future over the next 5 years and the ability to become a cash cow, this is what I always say about Washington. Like, this is one of the pillars. It's one of the most historic franchises in all of professional sports. Like, not just the NFL. I think it runs a lot deeper in when it comes to stadiums and stuff like that, your reputation. Matters.
I also think what a brand guy, mm-hmm. Mark Klaus, think about the current brand and whether it's worth it.
Yeah.
To open up Pandora's box to go through another brand change, considering the fact that the current brand, the current name was soundly rejected, and the next one, if there is one, could be also soundly rejected. Well, I wonder what his philosophy is on that. We can kind of kick that around next hour as well. Also, some report card grades coming out, and we'll start right at the top with the franchise quarterback, Jaden Daniels. What grade would you give Jaden Daniels through 13 games of his NFL career? Our thoughts on that coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.